This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. After the Fifth Circuit reinstates Texas heartbeat bill, the Department of Justice again tries to block it.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow.
An appeals court has now reinstated the law, which effectively bans most abortions in the state. This comes nearly 48 hours after a judge had halted it.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
It is likely the Supreme Court will eventually weigh in on the merits of that Texas law. And in December, the new conservative majority on the bench here will face its first major test on abortion with another case from Mississippi that directly asked the justice to consider overturning Roe v. Wade.
And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Talking about up and down and topsy-turvy and talking about bumps in the road, this Texas law has had that, that's for sure. Let me tell you what's happening. There's a law in Texas, the fetal heartbeat law, that has been challenged and includes now a challenge by the Department of Justice. A judge declared the law unconstitutional. It's made one trip up to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court let the law go into effect, went back down to the district court. The district court again tried to stop the law and then issued an injunction. And now, and this is important to understand what's going on here, the Fifth Circuit has issued a stay again. Let's go right to CeCe Hile, senior counsel for the ACLJ. CeCe, give us the lay of the land right now. This law keeps getting bounced back and forth, and it's a fetal detection of heartbeat is basically when the state of Texas is now recognizing the life of the unborn child as far as abortion goes. But this has gone up and back and probably on its way to the Supreme Court again, I suspect. But give us the kind of the understanding of the history here.
Sure. So just like you said, on September 1st, this law went into effect and it bans abortions once a baby's heartbeat is detected. But it puts the enforcement procedure in the hands of individual citizens. And so that's what makes it very interesting. And like you said, the abortion advocates, they sued Texas immediately. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court let it stand on procedural grounds. Now the DOJ has sued Texas. And we saw a district judge last Wednesday grant a preliminary injunction enjoining the law. But on Friday, Texas went to the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court, and the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court granted an administrative stay. So as it stands right now, this law banning abortions effectively is in effect in Texas. Now, the DOJ did answer yesterday, and so we will see what the Fifth Circuit says, if it can stand or if it'll be enjoined pending this appeal.
You know, this goes in a long line of cases involving the life issue that we're involved in. We've got that Eighth Circuit case, of course, we're representing the state of Montana. We're going to talk later in the broadcast about a pro-life sidewalk counseling case. By the way, the first series of those cases I started handling in 1988 in front of Judge Nick Lambros, who happens to be, Andy, your father-in-law. I was just texting your wife and said 1988 is when we first did these. I know we're short on time here, but we've been doing this for a long time.
Well, that's at least 33 years, Jay. And Judge Lambros at that time threw out 400 cases that had been brought by the Solicitor General of Fulton County against sidewalk counselors and abortion clinics, saying, I'm not going to stop anybody from counseling somebody not to have an abortion and not to kill their child. And we won those cases. I'm proud to say that my father-in-law was the state court judge in Fulton County who handled those cases. But Jay, and you were the chief counsel then and are still the chief counsel now, 33 years later, still fighting the battle.
It's a little bit of a bigger organization now than it was then. I'll tell you that.
Somewhat bigger.
Yeah. You don't forget the humble beginnings. And here we are. We're going to talk later in the broadcast about that. Rick Grinnell's also joining us. So, Logan, we've got a jam-packed program.
That's right. We do. Lots of guests coming on. The show is going on for the next hour. And if you want to be a part of it, you can right now. If you're watching on social media, which, by the way, if you're listening on radio, you can actually watch and see us in studio each and every day. That's on our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter. You can also find us on YouTube broadcasting live. If you're watching on all those, interact with it. Like, share, subscribe, do all those things. Make sure more people see it. And if you want to be on the air yourself, you can be. 1-800-684-3110. You have something to say about this? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Some phone lines are open right now if you want to be on the air. It's a great time to call. And we also be joined later on by Rick Grinnell. And Dad, we are currently discussing what happened in the courts, which is, you know, it keeps going back and forth. If you think you're watching a replay, you're not. We're live right now because last week we said that the Texas law was removed and now it's back in place. Maybe you can give people sort of a run through of how that works, leaning towards what everyone assumes is the inevitable United States Supreme Court case. Yeah. And do we live in a time where all of this, I think a lot of people say, is necessary to have all of these circuit courts to eventually, when we all know where this is going?
The circuit courts serve a valid purpose, and that is the Supreme Court can only hear about 100 cases a year. And Logan, as you know, they're not even hearing that right now. They're hearing more like 90. And so the circuit courts are where most of these cases are adjudicated finally. But you're absolutely correct. When it comes to the issue of the right to life, those cases, as you know, because I've done so many of those at the Supreme Court, those cases tend to continue all the way to the Supreme Court. This one it already had. So this one's had a kind of an interesting history, because if you look at the case, here's what's happened. Yeah, they passed this heartbeat bill in Texas. It was immediately challenged. Judge struck it down. They went to the Fifth Circuit, Texas did. Got a stay at the Fifth Circuit. Objections were made when it went en banc, and then they went ultimately Supreme Court. Supreme Court allowed the stay to take place, did not address the merits. So we'll address the merits later, but they didn't see anything that was worthy of a stay of the law being put in place. Then Texas, and then with the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice comes in against Texas as if Planned Parenthood can't handle it themselves. And a judge reissues the injunction. Texas takes it up to the Fifth Circuit. Fifth Circuit issues an administrative stay. But let me go to Fan Bennett here, because it's ironic that Planned Parenthood needed the help of the Department of Justice here. Pretty big organization. They have the right to do it, DOJ, to enter into it, obviously. But it just tells you where the administration is on these issues and, frankly, what the outcome is going to be as far as their staying involvement. The Department of Justice is going to stay engaged in this.
Well, the abortion lobby is an enormous force in Washington, D.C., as you know, Jay. I mean, I would take it all the way back to when Joe Biden was running for president. They essentially got him to reverse four decades of abortion policy, his view on the Hyde Amendment, his view on whether or not taxpayers should have to fund abortion. But I think it's particularly ironic when you talk about these line of cases, Jay, because we're at a point in our nation's history where this debate over when life begins and when life in the womb merits protection is really raging in the states. I mean, we're talking about the Texas law today that protects affects life after a heartbeat. But you've also got that law in Mississippi that's heading for the Supreme Court. They would restrict abortion after 15 weeks of age. So you really are seeing the process play out in a way that our founders envisioned. But what are they doing in Washington, D.C., Jay? The House of Representatives has actually already passed a bill, and Leader Schumer has said he is going to call it for a vote in the United States Senate in the coming weeks. That would do what, Jay? It would codify Roe, and it would say all of these restrictions, all of this debate that's happening in the states, that would be preempted. So, Jay, the Mississippi law would go off the books. The Texas law would go off the books. The other laws would go off the books. And by the way, it's not just restrictions that protect the life of the unborn, Jay. It's even safety protocols for women, hospital admitting privileges. All of those pieces of safety provisions would go off the books if this legislation would pass. So it's a coordinated effort on the abortion side in Washington, D.C., Jay.
There's no doubt about it. But then go to CeCe Hyle here. The fact of the matter is the ACLJ, we're front and center. We're representing the state of Montana in a major case at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit, again, right below the Supreme Court, dealing with the life issue. We've filed briefs, and of course, in the case that is the direct challenge, CeCe, to Roe versus Wade. So Roe is up for a direct challenge in a case at the Supreme Court that's going to be heard in December. And the ACLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, and other entities filed three separate briefs in those cases. CeCe?
Yeah, so the Dobbs case, like you said, is going to be heard in December. And we did file three briefs. And the European Center for Law and Justice brief was amazing because it literally states how European law is better on abortion than American law. And I think many people don't understand that because they think that the United States is conservative, but we are not conservative on this issue, on protecting a baby's life.
You know, Andy, you are, of course, are the counsel of record for our European Center for Law and Justice in that case. It's a fascinating brief because it traces the European law on abortion, and European law is much more protective of the unborn child than the United States.
I'm ashamed to say that that's the case, Jay. The Europeans have a greater feel for the sanctity of human lives than the United States does. We did a survey of the countries in Europe, members of the European Union, those who are not members of the European Union, and in an extensive brief that we filed on behalf of the ECLJ, the European Center, our European arm, centered in Strasbourg, France, in which I am intimately involved and where I will be later next month, found that the restrictions on avortement, to use the French word, or abortion are much stricter, and the right and sanctity to life in Europe is much greater in the European countries than in the United States. And isn't that, Jay, a sad commentary on the state of the American legal system and what we feel about life? Isn't that a sad thing to have to admit? I think it is.
No, it really is. I mean, the Europeans, you would think, you know, they seem to be more progressive on so many issues. And here you have the United States of America leading the world as far as not only abortion providers and abortions being done, but also the fact that we are the least protective of life. And I know we're getting comments are starting to come in, Logan. But, you know, we have documented our involvement. And as I said, going back to 1988, I appeared in a state court in Fulton County in Atlanta, Georgia, where Andy's father-in-law was the judge way back then in 1988, Nick Lambros, on abortion protests. We're going to talk about that later in the broadcast. And, you know, we won 400 cases there in that particular proceeding. But the fact of the matter is, and you know, you grew up with this, this has been a focal issue for us for literally four decades.
Yeah, it's been one of the sort of flagship issues of the ACLJ, and we have documented it many times. And you can see a movie we did. I mean, it's been 10 plus years ago now, but it's on ACLJfilms.org, or I'm sorry, .com, ACLJfilms.com. And it's the film Choosing Life, which is a history of the pro-life movement up until about 10 years ago. Obviously, a lot has changed since then. But if you want to give yourself sort of an overview, that's available for free on our website, as well as our films related to life, including Abortion Inc., which kind of goes into the business side of the abortion business. And it's pretty interesting. And it, again, our great team here put it together. You can find that on ACLJfilms.com as well as all our YouTube channel. We have so much content where we're talking about it. Yeah, it's been an issue that has changed a lot as technology has changed, as people's tone has changed. And I think that there is even undercurrents within the church. You have to have this discussion now. It used to be a pretty black and white issue when it comes to where the church stood on it. That's shifted a lot. So you got to change your tactics. You know, in the 80s, you were out there protesting on the streets, and maybe things have to be different now when it comes to how we deal with the life issue holistically.
Well, and that holistic aspect of it is more of the Cece. The medical science has advanced so much for the life of the unborn child that has affected a lot of the ways the states are, in fact, regulating abortion, because the life of the child. I mean, they're doing surgeries in 20 weeks in utero. So there are still sidewalk counselors. We're going to talk about that at the end of the broadcast or near the end of the broadcast. But the fact of the matter is the medical science has advanced so much that arguing that this is not a life really, you know, that whole argument that this is not a human life makes absolutely no sense when you just look at the science.
Absolutely. And I think Planned Parenthood knows that. They're losing the battle there. People know that this is a baby, but they try to spin it and they try to make it about women's rights and a woman's right to access reproductive health care. They don't want to talk about this woman is choosing to terminate the life of her child. But we see that, like in South Dakota, where we are representing South Dakota, there are common sense laws in place, common sense laws that require informed consent. And if you're ever going to have informed consent, it should be when you're making a medical decision to terminate the life of a baby. And so we see that states are implementing common sense laws, and I applaud them.
Yeah, you know, common sense laws and different kind of laws that you're seeing. Like we're dealing with at the Eighth Circuit, a really advanced informed consent provision of the Montana statutory scheme. And frankly, I think it's unique. It's important. It gives women that are maybe in a core situation an opportunity to get counseling as a requirement before they get the abortion. That is, I thought, again, these are unique approaches and I think very worthy of fighting. And the American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice, are all engaged in this issue front and center. We are on top of this, folks. We are in the Supreme Court of the United States with three briefs. We're at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're in a trial court. We're about in the Third Circuit in New Jersey. So we are heavily vested in standing up for life. Logan?
Absolutely. We'll be joined in the next segment by Rick Grinnell. Is that correct? Just confirming. Yes, in the next segment, Rick Grinnell. Pretty interesting development. It's coming out of the Pentagon as one of the main software chiefs quit, claiming that China has already won, and he just threw in the towel and said they're the global tech winner compared to what we have to offer here in America. We're going to discuss that with Rick Grinnell, his thoughts on that coming up, someone who would know a lot about that. If you have any questions related to that or to the issue of life that we are handling, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Also check out aclj.org. And as you saw yesterday, if you want to be the first to know about our brand new series, Revenge of the Taliban, go to aclj.org/Taliban and sign up now.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined by Rick Grinnell on Seculo today, because this came out and it's something we should talk about pretty aggressively. Rick, maybe you could give us a brief understanding of this topic, but essentially what I told our audience before this was that the Pentagon, one of the software chiefs, said, you know what? China has won the global tech war. I'm out.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, this is really scary, Logan. When you think about what this means, it's an admittance that we're failing. And I've tried to say before, Russia is a problem, but China is a crisis. And we've got to be able to understand that American companies that are doing sensitive classified work for the American government should not also be working in China with junior partners. If you are a junior partner with someone, with a company in China, that company is beholden to the Communist Party of China. There is no question about that. Anyone who is listening to their classified intelligence briefings will tell you that this is the way that China is manipulating data and getting the best of us. And this individual at the Pentagon who has resigned because the system isn't supporting the changes that he believes we need. We can't continue to have Chinese partners when it comes to our drones or our microchips. They are using backdoor techniques to get our information and to get the best of us. This is basic. I don't understand why Washington can't figure this out. Yep.
Dad. Oh, hold on. I think we got to get your mic up here. You there, Dad? Oh, we're having some technical difficulties.
How about now?
There, we got you. We got you. Go ahead.
All right. So, Rick, let me ask you this. You served as the Director of National Intelligence. I think it's important for our – we just say that all the time as if everybody knows what that is, but people don't. Will you explain, as we talk about this topic, what your job was for the administration as the DNI?
Sure. What the Director of National Intelligence does, and it started after 9/11, when we realized that our intelligence agencies had all the pieces leading up to 9/11. We knew there were bad actors. We knew that they were trying to start a sleeper cells in the United States. We knew that they were garnering the programs that they needed to do this attack. But we didn't have it all put together, A plus B plus C plus D. And so George Bush, President Bush, decided that after 9/11, in order to get agencies to talk amongst themselves, intelligence agencies, that we should create another bureaucracy to force them to talk. Now, I'm one that doesn't believe that it works. I think that siloing all of our intelligence agencies is bad. But the Director of National Intelligence is, in theory, supposed to take all of the intelligence from all of the different intelligence agencies of the United States, get them talking, get them coordinated, and to make sure that the programs that we have are not duplicate. And that is a real problem, because with so many agencies, we're having agencies compete against each other, and that means wasting tax dollars.
So the technology chief of the Pentagon resigns, and he says, I resign because the Chinese have already beat us. We're 20 years behind. We've got really low quality, low grade, internet and computer technology going on right now. And then makes the decision that that's it. He's done. And says, you know what? This is not good for my kids. It's not good for my grandkids. How serious is this?
It's very serious, because in essence what he is doing is he's quitting because he's saying the changes that need to happen are not being done, that the system, the public policy leaders are not taking the threat seriously enough, and therefore he doesn't want to be a part of something that somehow gives validation to a process that he thinks is on the wrong road, that is dangerous, and that is somehow moving us towards a relationship with China where they beat us. And he doesn't want to have any part of it. But make no mistake, Jay, he has solutions that he put forward to say, this is how we fix the system. This is how we can get America away from China to have our process better. And no one is listening to him. So he resigned.
Rick, I just had a question for you. You know, we have Joe Biden, and we have the Biden administration now meeting with the Taliban. We have all these things happening, but he announced a virtual summit with China. And I was just curious, how does that help? What's going on now?
Look, we've already seen that when the Chinese came to Alaska, they lectured us on human rights. They are aggressive in their diplomacy. They're now threatening Taiwan. When we decide to have some sort of a diplomatic Zoom meeting with them, it's useless. We need to have diplomacy that has muscle. We need to have U.S. policy that has consequences. And that means, look, I've been a big advocate for having a law that says if you are an American company working in the United States government contracting world, where you have a contract with either DOD, the Pentagon, the State Department, or an intelligence agency. If you're an American company doing sensitive work for America's intelligence services, you should not be allowed to work inside China. This is a basic wall that we should have, except there are a whole bunch of people in Washington who won't go along with that, including Republicans. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue anymore. We've got Republicans who are absolutely against barring U.S. companies from doing business both with China and America on sensitive intelligence contracts. And to me, that should be instituted immediately.
You know, I've asked this, Rick. We only got 2 minutes left. I don't want people to lose hope here that this is a problem we can't get around. There are solutions.
There's no question there are solutions. And that means first recognizing that China is a crisis to us, that they are trying to grab our data, that they are not an honest broker when it comes to what they do. You know, they don't have a rule of law, Jay, but they manipulate our rule of law by suing us in our court. This is something that we can't do. We can't sue them in their courts. They don't have a process, but they will manipulate our process to benefit them. They've manipulated the WTO, and they manipulate currencies. We have to get much more serious about pushing back and having real consequences for China.
Rick Ronell, we appreciate you, your comments and insight, and of course also appreciate that you're a key part of our team here at the American Center for Law and Justice at the ACLJ. Again, Rick, thanks for being with us. Great insight. Logan, we've got a great next half hour coming up, too.
Yep, another half hour coming up. If you don't get it on your local station, if you're listening on the radio, you can find us live broadcasting right now, if you're hearing it live, on Facebook at facebook.com/jseculo. Just search for that. On YouTube, search for the ACLJ channel. You'll see we're broadcasting live there right now to thousands of people. You can discuss, and you can also see us. And if you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. We'll continue this conversation about China. We'll also talk about the life issue and the Texas bill and how it's been reinstated and taken away and back. And we'll go discuss all of that and so much more here in the second half hour of Seculo. In the meantime, visit ACLJ.org not only to support the work here, make your financial donations, but check out the amazing blogs and news stories that get put there. Check out the amazing video content. We got the new series, Revenge of the Taliban, coming out in just a few weeks. You can find that by signing up to be the first to know at aclj.org/Taliban. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.